On Humility. The prayer of the humble and the meek hath always pleased thee. Judith 9:16. The following is from St. Francis de Sales. If, for acts of a true and sincere devotion, the world shall esteem you mean, abject, or foolish, humility will make you rejoice at this happy reproach, the cause of which is not in you, but in those that reproach you. What is it to love your own abjection? In Latin, abjectio signifies humility, and humility signifies abjection. So that when our Blessed Lady in her sacred canticle says that all generations should call her blessed because our Lord had regarded the humility of his handmaid, her meaning is that our Lord had graciously looked down upon her abjection, her meanness and lowliness, to heap his graces and favors upon her. Nevertheless, there is a difference between the virtue of humility and abjection. For our abjection is the lowliness, meanness, and baseness that is in us, without our being aware of it, whereas the virtue of humility is a true knowledge and a voluntary acknowledgement of our abjection. Now the main point of this humility consists in being willing not only to acknowledge our objections, but in loving and delighting in it. And this not through want of courage and generosity, but for the greater exaltation of the divine majesty, and holding our neighbor in greater estimation than ourselves. Praise, honor, and glory are not given to men for every degree of virtue, but for an excellence of virtue. For by praise we endeavor to persuade others to esteem the excellency of those whom we praise. By honor we testify that we ourselves esteem them. And glory, in my opinion, is nothing but a certain luster of reputation that arises from the concurrence of praise and honor. So that honor and praise are like precious stones, from a collection of which glory proceeds like a certain enameling. Now humility, not enduring that we should have any opinion of our own excellence, or think ourselves worthy to be preferred before others, consequently cannot permit that we should hunt after praise, glory, or honor, which are only due to excellence. Let us incessantly fix our eyes on Jesus Christ crucified, and march on in his service with confidence and sincerity, but yet with wisdom and discretion. He will be the protector of our reputation, and should he suffer it to be taken from us, it will be either to restore it with advantage, or to make us profit in holy humility, 1 ounce of which is preferable to 10,000 pounds of honors. The following is from Father Frederick William Faber. Humility is the perfume of God. It is the fragrance which he leaves behind who cannot be humbled himself because he is God. It is the odor, the stain, the token that the Creator leaves upon the creature when he has pressed upon it for a moment. It must be a law of the world of grace because we find it in Mary, in the saints, and in the faintest, most nearly indistinguishable way in ourselves. Perhaps it is something inseparable from God. We trace the Most High, the incommunicable, by it in the Old Testament. We trace Jesus by it in the New. The glory of humility is in the human nature of our Lord, on which the mysterious pressure of the divine nature rested forevermore. It is this inevitable perfume that God leaves behind him, which hinders his altogether hiding his traces from us. Mary has found him, and she has laid down in the lowliest, most flowery valley of humility, and the fragrance of God has perfumed her garments, her gilded clothing surrounded with variety. Humility grows far more rapidly and blossoms more abundantly in the mere thought of the immensity of God's love of us and the unintelligible prodigality of his fatherly affection for us, where there is no thought of self at all, even in the way of merited self-reproach. This vision, for it is nothing but a beautiful celestial vision, overshadows our souls. The fires of our selfish passions go out in it. The glare of the world seems softened through it. There is nothing to distract us in the absorbing simplicity of this one sight which we are beholding. There is nothing to awaken self-love and to aim it against the nobler or better thoughts of self-forgetfulness. Humility is never more intense than when it is thus simply overwhelmed by love, and never can our souls be more completely overwhelmed by love than when they rest, silent and wonder-stricken, beneath the shadow of the Blessed Sacrament. Nothing teaches us humility so much as the Blessed Sacrament. Our hearts, for very love, are constrained to imitate him in our own feeble way, and to worship him in his sacramental presence by a continual exercise of interior humility.